Live from the Mountain West Conference Media Day at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Reno's in, so is Southern Nevada. This hour is brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyer. 766-1400 is the number. Got to dial 775 in the north, 766-1400, the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada number. That's a pretty snazzy-looking shirt there, Willie Ramirez.
Thank you. I have tomorrow's picked out, too.
I was trying to lean on the Hawaii guys for some advice on a way to get more Hawaiian shirts into my collection, because I've built up a pretty decent collection. But you know I'm a value player. So I was like, hey, you know, you guys have any good hooks, you know, somewhere that would, I could buy it from there, you know, kind of inexpensive.
You're going to fly out there to get them?
No, I'm going to buy them from a Hawaiian shop and have them mail them.
Order.
Now, here's the thing. I also would like to know if I'm still on the beat down the road for UNLV when they have more Hawaii trips, because remember, basketball is going to join the conference, Hawaii basketball, in 2 years, that when I hit the ground there, like, I might just go to the swap meet.
Well, if you wear,
but I need some tips on where to get shirts, because I will be bringing back or mailing back boxes.
Well, the good thing about when you fly into Hawaii is you immediately get laid.
You do. I actually still have the lay.
When my wife, wife and kids, oh, I still have one. When my then wife's son and stepson, when we went out there for a 2-week excursion, everywhere you turned, you showed up and. Yep. Boom, they hit you with the leg.
And I didn't finish what I was saying. The last time I went there on a UNLV trip, we got off the plane, and right away, I got a real big one.
Yeah.
It was nice. You ever still have it. Love it.
You ever notice the athletes, or when they graduate high school here, I notice it a lot, especially the Liberty kids, since I'm so close with them, right? I don't know how they move. They have to have gained – they have to put on at least 10, 20 pounds worth of – either candy lays, flower lays, this, that, just the amount of stuff that gets put on them, it's wild.
We're going to talk to Timmy Chang tomorrow and up on YouTube and TikTok and our other video providers, platforms. We'll have a conversation with a couple of the Hawaii players, including Jamai Otis, who actually is a local from Bishop Gorman, so that's coming up. Big Four time now, though.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Four at Four. Number four.
Aviators return to town, Willie, and Friday night is a big one. They're doing a Harry Potter jersey night. Harry Potter jersey night.
Nice.
But do we also have someone special throwing out a first pitch?
Yeah. The Cofield & Company vast PR crew. Kaylin Chio, LSU gymnast, who we had on because she honored us with an interview a few months back before the SEC Gymnastics Championships, and then, of course, they went on to the NCAA Championships. The national champion, vault. National vault champion? Yeah. And freshman of the year, Kaylin Chio from Las Vegas. She will be throwing out the first pitch Saturday. That should be fun.
Do you have any insight if she's going to do something like Cirque du Soleil? We've seen some of those performers go crazy.
Maybe like
a front flip,
backhand spring type thing. I don't know. Maybe to walk out there, I can entice her.
I'm going to say this as someone who can't flip. I never could. Yeah, just a front flip or a back flip would be something simple she could do.
Yeah.
Because what they can do is insane.
Well, what she can do is, her floor exercise has earned top praise, you know, and her vault, obviously, she was one of three gymnasts in the nation during the regular season to get a perfect 10. She's the reigning national champion. She's only going to be a sophomore, and LSU is a national powerhouse year after year, so I don't know. I'll have to talk to her and see if maybe her entrance, I can hold, or her mom, Sarah, could hold the ball while she makes her entrance, like doing one of those running cartwheel front something or another's, and then give her the ball, and then she, or when she leaves the field, maybe do it. I don't know, but it's going to be a fun special night because this is a young lady who I will continue to champion and sing her praises until every single, or at least in every medium in this town recognizes her. The newspaper, of one of the two, TV state, should all be. Right now, as of now, per usual, Cofield & Company is the only one that's given her any exposure.
Number three.
Another WNBA expansion team is going to land in Portland. The Fire?
The Fire.
Yay or nay?
Fire. I don't know if probably you don't like it.
I had no thoughts on it, really. I just figured it'll get people worked up. It's definitely, it's not a bad name. I just wonder what the logos will be.
Well, they're bringing back the, from 2002 there was a team. So they're just they're just regenerating the original Portland Fire, which I don't have a problem with at all. I like the logo. I think that they're going to have fun with it. You know what it kind of reminds me of is, and maybe they'll have Voodoo Donut Night. But don't they have something like a similar little, the Voodoo Donuts? Have you ever had Voodoo Donuts?
I have not.
Have you ever been to Portland?
I have been, but it was a long time ago.
I've been to Portland.
I liked it.
Portland's cool. I went to Portland, I don't know, several years back before, I think the year before COVID. Went up to Beaverton, checked out the campus.
Weather's different.
Toured the campus, yeah.
Yeah, last year I got to see Eugene and whatever Oregon State is. What the hell's the name of the town? Now I'm blanking.
Corvallis.
Yeah, Corvallis. I got to see them. The weather for like 2 days is good. I'd probably jump off a bridge if I was there all the time. I couldn't.
Have you seen the Nike campus?
I have not. Is it amazing?
In person? Oh, in person, it's ridiculous. I mean, you see it; it's massive when you see it online. But I mean, to go there and drive around, it's almost like it's its own city. But I went to the Nike shop in Beaverton where you go, and you have to be invited. You have to get on a special list. Someone has to put you on. You go in, and then everything is like massive discounted. It's pretty. I dropped a grip.
Number two.
Number two.
There's two angles on the story. One, man, the Patriots brass really hated each other, and they are now incredibly childish about it. Or two, Bill Belichick has changed amazingly. I can't figure out what's changed in his life that has made him change. Did you see that Robert Kraft said recently that he and the Patriots took a big risk by hiring Belichick back in 1999? Belichick has responded in a statement. What is going on with Bill Belichick? When did he turn into a big softy? Belichick says, I'd been warned by multiple previous Patriots coaches, as well other members of NFL organizations and the media, that the New England job was going to come with many internal obstacles. I made it clear, blah, 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 blah. What is going on with this guy? Why do you have to respond? Who cares? You're one of the most accomplished football coaches in history. You never did the media stuff now, and something has mysteriously changed where he's become this big, sensitive softy. I wonder what changed.
I don't know. I don't know if you're baiting me into
it. No, you know what I'm alleging.
Yes, I do.
Is it someone at home?
In his ear, possibly. But the thing is, maybe they're both right, right? Maybe they're both right. It's just that Belichick doesn't need to respond to start something. But in a sense, he did take a big risk, right, in bringing Belichick in. Because where was he before that? Cleveland? Brought him in from Cleveland?
Well, he also stole him from the Jets.
Jets.
So is that the risk he's talking about?
Or, well, I mean, just in general, like he at that point, wasn't he still somewhat? He was unproven. Outside, he was a coordinator. We knew what he could do as a coordinator, but nevertheless, yeah. I think it's one of those interviews. I'm guessing. I don't know the context behind it, but what I'm guessing is that we took a big risk and bring him blah 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 blah, and it worked out.
I mean, is that a Parcells thing? Was Parcells the one who said it was a hellhole there? I don't know, man. I don't get the fighting. You know, Belichick is whatever he is, 73. Bobby Kraft's 100. Why they're still going at it. But it does show that all that stuff from a lot of New England fans and New England media where it's like, there's no problems. This is all fake news. It wasn't fake news. Tough story.
Number one.
I'm looking at the All-Mountain West Conference team. And by the way, the poll was out for the teams, the schools themselves. Boise 1, UNLV 2. San Jose State 3. We'll give you the rest of the rankings. But UNLV is getting a lot of respect. A lot of respect. The All-Mountain West Conference for the players, let's see, Boise State. I mean, there's 10 Boise State players on the All-Conference teams, including the specialist. There's two from UNLV. I normally don't do this because I really am not a homer, and I would tell you that it is very difficult to pick these All-Mountain West Conference teams. But this is dreadful. This is a pathetic performance by the media.
Makes me want to, before I leave today, run down to the book, bet UNLV to win the Mountain West, because they're going to come out with piss and vinegar.
You know what? Maybe they will. Maybe they'll use this. I mean, anything you can use as motivation.
Sure.
But from a player standpoint, and it's a discussion I had with Adam Hill, because I could see this coming. Athlon put out four levels deep of all Mountain West Conference teams, and they had a bunch of UNLV players selected. And I looked at the list, and I'm like, well, that's not exactly what I saw in practice. But here's the problem. You have to go to practice for all of these schools, and no one can do that. So to vote really in any conference for all whatever team, you can't really make an educated guess. You're doing a lot of it on reputation. But I do find that funny that none of the holdovers really got much credit for UNLV. The running back, Jet Thomas, is a first-teamer. Linebacker, Marcel McDuffie, is an All-Mountain West Conference first-teamer. I can name you the guys that I think right now I think have a chance to get honors, but no one else here would have any idea.
Well, and I think that's what makes this one sting more than the Athlons and the Phil Steels and the Sporting News or whoever else puts them out, because those are just national writers. Half those things, those write-ups and previews have been done. They were done after the spring ball, and then they update them just before publishing date. What makes this one sting more is that it's Mountain West media members, beat writers, or broadcasters or whomever around the Mountain West that are going to be covering, and so they're going to take it more to heart, saying, oh, okay, you know, somebody's getting homer here or there. They're still not getting the respect
they deserve.
Unless
all of us call around to other media people,
right,
or to the school, and maybe you can get it from a coach. Coaches are going to keep it tight-lipped. They have no idea. Because guess what? They had 2 years ago, they had no idea who Jade Maiava was. And this is a glamour position. Last year, they had no idea who Haj Malik Williams was. Well, and he had a good year. I will tell you right now, the guys that I think are going to excel and could be all-conference players, I think this isn't sexy, but I think their center, Reed Williams, which this isn't a giant leap of faith saying Reed Williams. Reed Williams was the Remington winner at FCS. Mm-hmm. He went to UT Chattanooga. He's a highly accomplished player. He's going to make the jump to the Mountain West and be really good. I think he could be one of the guys. I think one of the defensive backs, I already mentioned Jake Pope, I think one of the defensive backs has a chance. Mumu Binwahad, I think, has a shot to do it. And I really like some of the guys on the off, or check that, the defensive line. I think Cohen Fuller has a chance to be an impact guy. But I also believe there's probably five or six other players, seven other players, who have a chance to make top four team all Mountain West Conference at the end of the year. But right now they're not going to get any shine. They got nothing.
What about from a special team standpoint, all purpose, kid that was here today?
D'Angelo Urban has a chance to be another type.
Kind of a quiet breakout player.
Jacob DeJesus. Well, he already played at times instead of, or in the absence of Jacob DeJesus, and did really well. And I'll give you the other one. Like, I think Maddox Mattson is a good quarterback. I don't know that he's a guarantee to be the all-conference quarterback, but because he's one of the experienced guys back, I think Anthony Calandria has a chance, if he doesn't make mistakes, to be every bit as good as Mattson or better.
What I liked about D'Angelo Urban and just talking to him in general, but also this is a kid with a very high IQ and field awareness. Let's not forget, he was a quarterback.
He was originally an Air Force commit.
Yes.
He was going to be potentially a future quarterback at Air Force. So we'll go through the rest of the team, but there's a lot of guys on this UNLV squad who we're all learning about because they have 55-plus new players on the roster. We'll come back. We're going to go to Nevada football and talk to the very well-traveled Chubba Purdy.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Mountain West Conference Media Day on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Yeah, today is Players Day here at Circle Las Vegas. Cofield and Company set up in the media area. Day two has a lot of the coaches. Well, we mentioned the team poll and the Wolfpack are picked last. I don't think they're going to finish last. But a lot of that is going to depend on what they get out of the quarterback position. They had a really good quarterback a year ago, very dangerous, and then he got plucked away by Memphis. When that happened, Chubba Purdy was in the midst of basically thinking about dropping the whole damn thing. He is actually Brock Purdy's brother. Chubba was very highly recruited out of Arizona, played at both Nebraska and Florida State, then landed with Jeff Choate in Reno and then got hurt. And he's had a lot of injuries. And so at the end of last year, he was thinking about it like, hey, maybe this is it, right? Maybe I won't come back. They get the transfer of the starting quarterback, and Choate made the pitch to Purdy, and we'll get into this in the conversation, but I talked to Chuba a little while ago, and, you know, a lot has changed, Chuba, to convince you to come back and play another year of college football, right?
Yes, sir, yeah. Like, I was going to be done after this past season. Strained my right lat going into fall camp, and, you know, I was like, I think I'm probably done with football. I was out 8 weeks, missed the first 4 weeks of the season, and then they put me at, you know, receiver, running back. I was playing here and there. And then at the end of the season, I was like, yeah, I'm done. Cause I've dealt with so many injuries. I've had 6 surgeries in 4 years. So I was just like overwhelmed by everything. And then I went home. I was like, I'll hit the portal, just see what happens. Did that. And then Choate called me back. He's like, hey, come back to Nevada. Like, you know, I think you're the right fit. You're the right guy. Just come back, give it one more shot. I was like, all right. And it was easy for me to come back because I love Coach Choate, love his staff, love all my teammates. So I was like, it's a no brainer coming back.
Why do you love Choate?
I mean, he just makes you, like, even in the team meetings, we got team meetings with him, like, he fires you up. He comes with the same energy every single day. You know, and then game days, he makes you want to run through a brick wall. And, you know, he's just a smart guy. He tells you the truth. And I just think he's a great head coach.
What's the next step for you in terms of really fine-tuning your play?
He said, what's the next step?
Yeah.
Next step, you know, really just first having a great fall camp, taking it one day at a time, one practice at a time. And just really building relationships with the guys, because I mean these are the guys you're going to go to war with every game, every snap. Really, just you know that leadership role, stepping in that leadership role, and building the guys up, and then put my trust in them, and their trust in me.
Chuba Purdy's with us, quarterback for Nevada. You guys are opening at Penn State now. I can ask you, hey, with your stops in the past, you've been at big places like Penn State.
Yes, sir.
But I don't know that you got a lot of playing time in some of those big spots. Did you get some playing time in the past in gigantic stadiums? And do you have any awareness of what Penn State is like?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I started against Michigan, actually, in the Big House.
Hello.
In 2022. It was a sold-out game, so, I mean, that was pretty sweet. Actually got hurt that game, too. But, you know, being in that kind of atmosphere, I mean, you live for that as a kid. Like, growing up, you get excited, like, watching those games on TV. So, going to Penn State is a bucket list for sure. I mean, everyone wants to play at that stadium, so I'm excited for that.
So games like that, how do you kind of execute? I think early you've got to play well to at least try to quell the crowd a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's the thing, like at Michigan on third downs, it gets super loud. But once you get a first down, then the crowd gets quiet. But obviously, if you get stopped, I mean, they go nuts. So
I've been to both. When I was in school, way back when, I went to Rutgers, and they went to Penn State a bunch and got their teeth kicked in. And that place, I don't remember it getting quiet. You're right, though, about Michigan. Michigan's, it's a weird deal. You got 100,000 people.
It's not that loud, though.
And then all of a sudden, it gets
third down is super loud, but first, second down, it's not that loud. And then third down is like you couldn't hear. Then you get a first down, back to quiet.
What's the loudest place you've been?
Loudest place? I would probably say Clemson, Death Valley. That was pretty loud. And then trying to think of what – I mean, shoot, Nebraska would get loud, even at home games. So I'd probably say definitely Clemson.
You must have friends everywhere.
Oh, it is awesome.
So do guys still reach out to you? And now, you know, if you're out there, you're starting, you're achieving, what do you think the feedback is going to be from all these former players that you've been with?
Oh, it's amazing. Like, I was telling my family this. Like, I love how, like, my journey's been crazy. I've been to the South, Midwest, now the West Coast, and – you know, the relationships I built with guys at Florida State, at Nebraska, and then now here at Nevada, I mean, they're friendships that are going to last forever. So it's been amazing, and I'm rooting for them. They're rooting for me. So it's been awesome.
How did you land in Reno?
Coach Choate recruited my brother at Montana State in 2017 or 2018, around there. He came to our house, tried to recruit my brother. My brother actually was going to go to Montana State, and then he started getting offers late before signing day. So, and then Choate hit me up when I was in the portal from Nebraska, and I came out there on a visit to Nevada, and I loved it.
What do you think of the UNLV rivalry?
I think it's awesome.
Did you have any idea what it was coming in? I don't think anyone does from the outside. Outside of Nevada, no one has any idea.
Yeah, it's definitely like more of a Nevada thing for sure. But yeah, outside of that, I didn't really know much about it. And then last year, you know, just talking about the Cannon and talking about UNLV and trying to beat those guys, and we had former players come in and talk to our team. And then I sort of got a way better understanding of it.
Okay, I'm going to ask you just a couple questions about your brother because it's mostly about you and about Nevada football. It's all right. How much do you talk to him? Like, how has he been? Because obviously he's trying to make his way at the highest level. What's he been like as a mentor as you've gone through all the injuries and the transfers?
Yeah, he. So I actually just saw him this past weekend. We golfed together in California. But he's great. I mean, he's helped me a ton just asking him for advice. Football player. I mean, he's an amazing football player, but outside of football player, he's a great human being. He's my best friend. That guy is, I mean, he's awesome. And, you know, just talking to him, you know, going over whether it's Bible scripture or going over plays and stuff like that. He's awesome to talk to and pick his brain.
I guess how well he's played has surprised me a little bit, clearly as the last pick in the draft, but the way he's handled the NFL from a maturity standpoint, I remember talking to him at the East-West Shrine game. And I'm like, this is an adult.
Yeah.
Like just he's got an interesting demeanor.
He's mature. I mean, he's been
always like that?
Oh my gosh. I was telling them earlier in another interview, like when I was a sophomore in high school, he was a senior and I would snap to him and he was on varsity, like 7-on-7s. And I'm trying to make him laugh during the play. And he like snapped on me like, you need to lock in. You got to know when it's right to mess around. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, this guy's different.
This guy's different. My brother's different.
Yeah.
Chubba Purdy is with us. Let's wrap on this one. What do you like about Reno? Like, what do you like about the town? You got a favorite restaurant? We're obviously, UNLV's up there every year for a couple of, well, not football every year, but basketball every year. Yep. So, and I'm part of the broadcast team. So I'm not supposed to say this down here because you guys are the enemy, although I'm on ESPN Reno up there. But I like Reno.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of cool restaurants. I actually would think it's a cool place to go to school.
No, yeah, I love it. You know, Tahoe's not far away. It's pretty. The summers are great. Got great golf courses. Like you said, the food, there's a lot of like different spots to hit. Like you got to go around and try different things out. And I mean, I love like on weekends going to try new different food spots. It's awesome. So,
all right, Chubba, we appreciate it. Good luck this year. And I guess screw the preseason rankings here. We don't know what we're talking about. The media doesn't know. You guys are on the rise. So good luck this year.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Chubba Purdy.
I 100% agree with your sentiments going out. I don't care how much of a down year the Wolfpack will have when it comes to football. As far as me going way back into my beginning days of journalism from the early 90s and whatnot, if they're having a down year, they're going to be a hard defeat. They're going to, you know, they're going to be competitive. Picking them last in this conference with especially with this kid and just Reno being such a college town is crazy talk. It's crazy talk to think that Nevada would be is coming in 12th. I just don't see it.
I don't want to do this because it makes me nervous because Bronco Mendenhall is awesome. I think Utah State's going to have a real shortage of talent. I don't think people realize how much trouble they were having there with Blake Anderson. So they had a talent drain. Funny enough, a UNLV player actually went up there in Corey Thompson, one of the wide receivers. But I think Utah State's a candidate to be at the bottom. I'm not sure that San Diego State has everything figured out, so I think they could be bad. New Mexico, I think New Mexico actually has a really good coach. He's one of two FCS coaches who are now in the league. Fresno State has the other. So
the
bottom will be competitive.
Yeah.
And I said earlier, I do not believe that Boise is such a lock that it got 35 of 39 first place votes.
Right.
I don't think you take, first of all, Danielson is really good. He's in year 1¾ plus. So there's still questions on him. Ashton Gentry, to replace a guy who had 2,500 plus yards on the ground, and they're really high on their running backs. But let's see.
Also say this. The team that's picked to finish 10th, Wyoming, I think when a lot of media members that may not travel and they're just making their picks based off of what they know on paper or on surface or on those, you know, a lot of the annuals that come out, the one thing that we know about Wyoming, whether it's football or any sport, is going there. So they always get a little bit of respect about the travel to Laramie, getting landing and then driving and then the home field advantage. I know one thing for me, when Craig Bohl was in there, I mean, when they would be – was that right?
Oh, yeah.
The you get like a Power 5 team that would open the season on the road in Wyoming. They'd be, the Cowboys would be getting for the big paycheck, and they'd be unexpected. I would always take a big underdog in that. But here's the thing. When it comes to this conference, it's just as hard to play in Reno as it is in Laramie. It's just as hard to play in Albuquerque. So I don't know about Wyoming. You know, they could be a candidate to be finished last.
So the Chuba story is going to be really interesting to follow because he's only attempted 188 passes in his career. He's on year six now. Clearly a guy who people thought was going to be really good at Florida State and at Nebraska. And one of the things that strikes you immediately, again, I mentioned it at the end of the conversation, Brock Purdy is his brother. Brock is not 6 feet tall. Chuba's got – he's not gigantic. He's not 6'5", but he's 6'2 and 210. So you can kind of see the measurables and with the family lineage why he was considered such a good prospect. And hopefully for the Nevada community, for Jeff Choate, Pack fans, he can stay healthy the entire year and get them some wins. And I thought Choate did a pretty good job last year in a complete overhaul of a program. Coming up in about 40, we're going to talk to UNLV AD Eric Harper.
Live from the Mountain West Conference Media Day at Circa Las Vegas, it's Cofield and Company.
Circa, we're back. At least for today and tomorrow. And then we think we'll be out here for football season. We'll have an official announcement on that. It was our Thursday home for a long time. Probably poolside again. Willie is here. It's Cofield. This hour is brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers office in Northern Nevada. Call from anywhere in the state of Nevada. The number is 766-1400. Got it out 775 in the north. We just got done talking a little bit of Pack football. We'll have another conversation with one of their defensive linemen. That'll be up later tonight. If you look for our show after the show, videos that we put out up on TikTok and on YouTube and then Twitter and Facebook and IG. But the easiest way is to search YouTube, look for Cofield and Company. I know Griffin is glad that football is back. He loves football. I love football content. So we're going to have a lot of football interviews, obviously, for the next 6 months. Football is here. Like, you've been counting down Hall of Fame game. For me, it's all about practice and camp. And both UNLV and the Raiders are going to really kick things off on the 23rd. Raiders rookies are in on the 17th. Chargers already reported because they're in the Hall of Fame game.
It's coming up July 31st. So they begin on-field preparations this week. L.A., as you mentioned. The Raiders reported on July 12th. Veterans reporting today. And then the Lions rookies report today. Veterans report on the 19th. They're the first two clubs with the entire teams on site. The two franchises set to meet in Canton. We got some other things going on in Canton we're going to talk about a little bit, but I'm stoked. It's wild because we've said this for 3 years in a row, 4 years in a row now, where we're constantly talking NFL, even after the Super Bowl, right? Adam's always going out to the combine. We're talking combine. The Raiders. What are the Raiders doing? Then all of a sudden it's the draft. Then all of a sudden it's rookie camp. Then it's mandatory camp. Then it's this. Now all of a sudden we look up and training camps are open. Like, we've been talking about, oh, man, this is going to be exciting when this happens. It's happening. It's here. It's now. So we are right around the corner from preseason. And like you mentioned before, coming into coming off the commercial break, we're going to be all over the place. I'm looking forward to this football season and Cofield and Company bringing you, of course, the best stuff.
There's still some stories to get to in terms of to really settle. The second-round picks around the league, for the most part, haven't signed. There's some informal agreement that has been made because the 34th pick in the draft got a guaranteed deal, so now second-rounders are like, you know what, we'd like that too. I don't know how long they're going to hold it together, but it affects guys like Jack Besh of the Raiders. Trey Harris is a very big name, another wide receiver with the Chargers. The other one is, and I try not to get sucked in by these contract situations, but when they linger, Jerry Jones' track record is he's a moron. So, no offense. he lets these contract situations go to the point where he's going to get hosed. Instead of just signing a guy early, hey, if others surpass him, then that's the way it goes. But look at the edge rusher market. And right now, Parsons is sitting out, T.J. Watt's sitting out, and Trey Hendrickson seems like he's been out forever. Is Jones going to wait until the other two sign and then have to pay through the nose? And the other one is, like, I try to stay away from it, but the Steelers are at least, reports are, they're at least sizing up what they could get for T.J. Watt, which, if he got dealt, would be monumental news in the National Football League. It would also defy logic. If you're not going to keep T.J. Watt, but you brought in Aaron Rodgers, what's the freaking point? Are you playing for now or not?
I can't even fathom them getting rid of him, because at this point, Steve, who's the face of that franchise? Who you know what I mean? They're not hanging their hat on Aaron Rodgers. That's for sure. So
the whole thing is built around defense, and they made some, you know, splashy defensive moves. They've also got Cam Hayward, who now is speaking up, and he will speak up. He's now speaking up on behalf of T.J. Watt. So you would think the Steelers get this done sooner than later. Don't let it get ugly and drag into the preseason.
Now back to Mountain West Conference Media Day with Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
So we just watched the baseball All-Star break. We'll get into the game and the home run off at the end of the game. I thought that was fascinating. I also loved watching social media flip out at the start of finishing a game with a home run derby, hating it, and then watching the result and being like, this is a great idea. Yeah, let things play out before you make a judgment call, but everything's got to be instant reaction. Cofield, Willie, Mateo's helping us out down here at Circa Las Vegas. WNBA will have its All-Star break coming up. We talked about it yesterday, nice attention, good land. They're going to have Good Morning America live on Friday in Indianapolis. I'm sure they are going to concentrate heavily on Caitlin Clark, or should they? Because that did not look good with her grabbing her crotch. I guess technically it's not the crotch,
it's
right?
Her groin. Yeah, be nice. Yeah.
It's a groin.
It is.
But yeah, and it's to the side, but she looked like she was really in pain. And she's had this lingering groin issue. She obviously had a leg issue earlier in the season. This does not look good. And she did not look happy.
Yeah, I got a text when that happened. Oh, I bet you're smiling. Oh, just because God. I'm critical, I'm not even critical of Caitlin Clark as much as I am the fans and the hype that over-dramatize every little thing that she does to make her out to be the greatest thing since whatever, Naismith. I do not wish. I the first thing I said was like, "Oh no, that's horrible." The All-Star game is in her city. She just committed to the 3-point shootout. This would be terrible. I don't want to see anybody get hurt. So, you know what, Steve? When she grabbed it, and I knew she re-aggravated. I seen her hit the basketball stanchion. The thing that sort of played on my heartstrings was seeing her with the towel wrapped over her head, and she was in tears. It was sad because, you know how much she loves the game. If all the social media and all the BS could just go away, she'd be fine with it. It's all about playing the game and playing for the team she's represented. So it was a little sad to see that, and I hope she'll be okay, and I hope that they take it serious and can recover her. Also, the fans going after Stephanie White, rushing her back. Let's not play dumb. Like, Caitlin probably had a word in, like, I'll be fine, and the trainers, and there's a lot more than just Stephanie White. So did they rush her back? It remains to be seen. Because, you know, today she made a comment that she's out tonight versus the Liberty, which is underway. They haven't looked further past that. But her long-term health is what is a priority. So hopefully they didn't make that decision too late.
Again, we're not doctors, so we know that. We're not very smart. She needs to sit down for a long time.
She needs
probably
to.
And frankly, I think the team will be, I don't know, about fine without her. I think they can make the playoffs without her. They have to get her ready for the playoffs. Okay, I'm going to admit something here.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I watched a lot of the Fever and the Wings over the weekend. Paige Beckers is really good. And she's having a rookie season that is equal to or better than Clark. Unfortunately, her impact isn't felt because that I don't like that roster at all. The Wings. I'm going to tell you right off the bat. First of all, anyone building with 6'7 and 6'8 up front in the WNBA, I think is stupid. They can't play defense. The Chinese girl, Lee.
Yeah.
And she's the smaller of the two bigs. They can't move. Clark, with probably a groin that's at the time was at like 80%, was blowing by both of them. Mm-hmm. The bigs on the roll were killing them. That is a horribly crafted defensive team.
Well, and they brought her in. That was the girl who was having the problem up in Seattle because she was brought in for Seattle. That was part of the trade that shifted with Jewel and Kelsey. Right. And so.
And then the other one is T.R. McCowan. I was not impressed. I think if you drag them out into deep waters, they got no shot.
And then an injury.
And by the way, very little impact inside an offense.
Right.
Not swift enough to make moves, getting stripped with the ball down low. So they got to think about how they're building a team, which, frankly, the trade they made, I'm not sure that they made a smart trade.
Well, and here's
I would rather build with Melissa Smith. Now, maybe they – we talked about it. Maybe they watched this with Melissa Smith and her girlfriend, Dejanay Carrington. You know, as an example, you and I can barely do anything outside of this show. We will argue all the time. Right. I can't imagine being in a relationship with Willie, and then I've got to be on the basketball team together. Like, we're not going to be playing together all the time. I don't know what the Dejanay-Melissa dynamic was, but I'd rather have someone like that. And she's got to get in better shape, by the way. But at 6'4", I'd rather those are the kind of bigs I want. Who can move? Who can defend? 6'8 and 6'7 bigs, forget about it. Again, Clark was crushing. That's the shame of this groin injury, is what I saw. She wasn't shooting the ball well, but, man, she handled it well. She only had one turnover through, like, the first three quarters of the game. She was on a minutes limit. She could only play 25 minutes. I thought Caitlin looked really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's still her Achilles heel, but she has sort of tamed her turnover problem, and she'll be fine. Here's the problem. It's not a problem with Caitlin Clark. It's a problem, again, what I said before. It's the hype and the fans and everyone making her out. She's the GOAT. She's this. And then so the second that you point out a flaw that she has in her game, first thing that people say is, oh, but who's bringing the attention to the WNBA? Okay, which argument are we arguing? Are we arguing her talent, her role on the team, what she's capable of doing? Is she the ninth best guard? That has nothing to do with drawing. No one's arguing that she hasn't brought eyes to the WNBA, that she's not drawing fans to attendance. People think every time there's a new attendance mark, is that, see what Caitlin did? No, sorry. The Las Vegas Aces has been selling out home games long before Caitlin Clark came into the WNBA. She's not the reason the Aces are selling out. She's not the reason. Now, is she the reason the teams may be moving to bigger arenas like last night, Connecticut going to TD Garden in Boston and playing against the, yes. But as far as her talent, she will grow and become one of the players of all time at some point. Right now, she is what she's either really, really good or she's mediocre in a game. She's not the best player on the. She's not the best player in the league. So
I also, Willie, I got to say again, and we do have the Aces and the Wings coming up here at 5 o'clock with a tip. Hmm. So I just broke Dallas down for you. If Dallas chooses to play big, the Aces should handle them pretty easily. The other issue I see with the Fever, I wish I covered them. Man, I would love to see the team dynamic. There's just stuff that happens on the floor where I don't see camaraderie. And we see repeatedly in this league, they've figured out, you know, we're going to pressure this young lady and we're going to meet her at half court and we're going to beat her up. Mm. And if you're not sending bigs out to freaking smash people and send a message, and it, by the way, Sophie Cunningham's not a big. So I'm not talking Sophie Cunningham going out and playing her dirty game. Mm-hmm. Bodies have got to get off of Caitlin Clark when she's back and healthy. So maybe they're, right now, maybe they're a happier team, and I'm not going to say they're better off, but I do think they're not better off without her. They're better off until she's 100%. And if that takes 12 games, and that approaches the end of the season, they get a rhythm. They figure out who they are, who's the primary ball handler, who's the primary scorer, who steps up in her stead, and I think they're going to be better off for it. But stop throwing her out there at 80%. You're just risking the whole season.
Well, and the thing that I told you last year when this hype train was rolling, I said specifically the star of the team the lead. She's the star. She's become the face of that franchise. But the leader of this team is the person who has been the engine for her professional career. That's Kelsey Mitchell. In reality, she's probably the overall best player on the Indiana Fever, is Kelsey Mitchell. People are realizing it this year. Last year, they were just so into Caitlin Clark. Everything's Caitlin Clark. But this year, with her missing time and you're seeing Kelsey step up, you understand and see the team in reality could be built around Kelsey, bolstered by Caitlin, because of what Kelsey Mitchell is. She's used to the physicality. She's going to be, you know, Caitlin Clark's drawing the defenders. Kelsey can sort of be that where she Caitlin's looking to dish. She's not dishing inside to Aaliyah Boston. She's not throwing in the corner to Lexi Hull. So there are components that can, as you said, get this team in playoff position while she gets better, and then you bring her back stronger than ever. She's going to be gunning come playoff time. So I'm excited for college ball too, by the way.
Well, you and I were just talking about a little bit of recruiting during the break and just how UCLA and USC, those women's programs in basketball are kind of what the men's programs hope to be, wish to be, because I think being in LA, they have a gigantic advantage with NIL and all the different things they can do around the program. If you've ever been to the campuses at USC and UCLA, they outrate almost everywhere in the country. You know, the weather is beautiful. The people are beautiful. The days of Stanford, not going to write off UConn. Stanford, Tennessee, and some other powers getting everyone. Now we're seeing more and more top recruits either stay home or come from a distance to go to UCLA and USC.
Right. Well, they're in the Big Ten. So, I mean, UCLA has a big chip on their shoulder coming back with Lauren Betts and Kiki Rice. But USC, now let's not forget, Juju Watkins tore up her knee in the dance. There's a good chance that she forgoes this season, gets a medical. But you know what? They got a 19-year-old girl. No, 18. She's on the under-19 team. Jasmine Davidson. Remember that name? She goes by Jazzy. She's currently in the Czech Republic with Team USA, crushing it. I've already been in contact with their PR people. I want to do a Zoom with her, because if Juju can't go, Lindsey Gottlieb will lean on her. USC is going to be a powerhouse regardless. If Juju decides to, let's say she comes back in the second half of the season in time for conference player of the tournament, oh my goodness.
Willie last week was just blasting veteran reporter Christine Brennan. How dare you? I can't believe you did that. She referenced an athletic poll, mm-hmm. right? And it was not well responded. It was only 39 players out of whatever's in, you know, the WNBA, 150. The question was, who will be the face of the WNBA in 5 years? Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark got 54%. Asia Wilson got 4%. I think it's a pretty big compliment to Caitlin Clark. A very big compliment. It's a little swipe at Asia Wilson, but she'll also in 5 years be, what, like 32 or 33. Juju could be the player. My guess is there's probably a player out there that we don't even know about who should be on this list. Did you see the viral video of the French women's team? The youth team? Two different females dunked. That is not the end-all be-all. But one of them, I'm going to botch her name here. It's Alicia, maybe Tournabise. 6'4 on a mini break, threw down a dunk, two-handed, like it was nothing. Two-handed.
Oh,
and people
immediately
responded, like, Candace Parker threw one down. Like, Candace Parker did tennis ball over the rim, flicking the rim. This lady went up, two hands.
I just see it.
I'm like, okay. Yeah. We'll close out this hour on this. I started this conversation yesterday with Alex White. Is part of the WNBA expanding the hopes that salaries are going to go up and they can actually really mine the international markets? Because I feel like a lot of international players, they still don't get the best international players because of pay.
It could be. I mean, it could be. It's just for the fact with the rules of the CBA, right, that you have to be back by a certain time and you can't finish your season. You have to be back by the time training camp opens, otherwise you forgo your WNBA season. So it could very well be the case, but I think that it's opening the door for a lot of players. I still think that they need to answer – the question. They need to answer the issue of expanding the roster, not just the league. So, oh, by the way, Caitlin Clark and people aren't re-aggravating injuries, and you have a deeper rotation. Because if you have a rotation of, if you have a roster of 12, and two players can't go for whatever reason, now you're down to 10. And they're not normal bench players. You're not getting, you know, the playing time could be stretched a little bit. If you have injuries or you want to, you know, someone's taking the maintenance, you can at least rotate them in. So I think that's an answer too. But, yes, with expansion and with roster potentially expansion, you could see more international players.
Giveaway time. We got the Nighthawks back on the field against Tucson, Vegas Nighthawks, indoor football coming up on Saturday the 26th, 6 o'clock kickoff. AXS.com is where you can get your tickets. Lee's Family Forum in Hendo. Watch some great football with some local flair. Vegas Nighthawks, caller 7 right now. Two tickets, 364-1100, 364-1100.